Airbus claims exoneration in the Air France 447 case. The Canadian government tells Diamond no deal. And AOPA expands the leveraging of its membership lists. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 19th, 2011. An article appearing in the French press and reported by USA Today indicates that Airbus has sent a telex message to airlines, announcing that the data recovered from the flight data recorder aboard Air France Flight 447 shows no apparent urgent mechanical problems with the A330 in general. Various reports suggest the French Accident Investigating Agency, BEA, is aware of that telex but is not amused. Airbus does not speculate on the cause of the accident. The original article appeared in Le Figaro, which pointed to actions by the flight crew as the accident's probable cause. In an official statement, BEA says of Le Figaro, quote, "Sensationalist publication of non-validated information, whilst the analysis of the data from the flight recorders has only just started, is a violation of the respect due to the passengers and crew members that died, and disturbs the families of the victims, who have already suffered as a result of many hyped-up stories," unquote. BEA adds that, at this stage of the investigation, no conclusions can be drawn. Newly elected conservatives in the Canadian federal government have declined Diamond Aircraft Industries' request for a $35 million loan to recall furloughed workers and resume the DJET program. The immediate effect will be the continued furlough of about 200 workers laid off at the end of March. The longer-term possibilities have a familiar theme. Company President Peter Maurer has been quoted in local media in the London, Ontario area as noting that talks with potential Chinese investors started about 6 years ago. They've more recently been dormant, but he adds that if a serious offer were to come from China, it would be difficult to turn it down. Maurer also noted that talented people who've been laid off during the delayed consideration of the loan are now likely to find work elsewhere. London City Councilman Bud Polhill told the London Free Press, quote, "It's going to hurt the city for sure. It's going to send a lot of high-tech people somewhere else. That's a real problem for me, and it's devastating for London's high-tech industry," unquote. Canada's federal government already has $20 million into the program, an investment made from a fund earmarked for assisting high-tech companies with research and development. Conservative Member of Parliament Ed Holder, who represents the London West District, told the paper, quote, "I am confident that Diamond received a fair and thorough review of their request. I am also confident that the potential use of taxpayer money was also carefully considered. As I stated in the beginning, the request would be judged solely on its merits, and this has taken place," unquote. After more than 3 years of construction and development, pilots across the country will soon have access to Austin Executive Airport, KEDC, which will officially open on Wednesday, June 8th. The plans call for a reception at 1 p.m., followed by a grand opening ceremony and tours of the facility. The airport is part of Austin Executive's $33 million master plan. Once complete, the airport will boast amenities including Hendrickson Jet Center, a 27,500-square-foot FBO terminal building, a 6,000-foot runway and taxiway, a fuel farm with a 29,000-square-foot corporate hangar which can accommodate planes up to the size of a G5, along with a 140-by-85-foot arrival canopy. Airport owner and developer Ron Hendrickson is a former telecommunications executive, best known in aviation for previously opening Houston Executive Airport in 2007, built on the site of a former crop dusting facility. CFI Bob Miller, the flight school operator who publishes Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, has very publicly renounced his membership in the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Miller cites AOPA's continued move into marketing schemes and what he sees as the organization's refusal to work on general aviation's big problems. Quote, "The fact that we GA pilots have a horrible and unrelenting accident rate receives barely a mention from AOPA. The fact that others, like SAFE, are trying to do something about this problem, and AOPA's CEO cannot find the time to participate, is even more troubling. Perhaps AOPA's greatest indignity is claiming that its Air Safety Institute, under the questionable leadership of Bruce Landsberg, fulfills AOPA's safety mission. then claims that ASI is a separate and distinct organization, unquote. The timing of Miller's decision and comments appears to have to do with the absence of AOPA President Craig Fuller from the recent pilot training reform symposium and the receipt of a barrage of marketing offers by both postal and email over a short period. I asked Bob the question many longtime AOPA members no doubt will ask, and that is if he isn't throwing the baby out with the bathwater and quitting AOPA, given the positive things it does accomplish for GA. He responded, quote, "No, this is the bathwater, not the baby," unquote. I expect Bob will have more to say in our regularly scheduled Monday chat on the Aero News special feature next week. On a related topic, ANN has been getting a number of reports from email users who have been getting repeated email solicitations to subscribe to AOPA's daily e-newsletter called the Aviation eBrief. There's a bunch of these electronic newsletters now which all look similar. They're produced by a company called SmartBrief to fit the topics and required editorial slant of various special interest groups. In addition to producing AOPA's product, SmartBrief also produces daily email briefs for the Air Transport Association and the Aerospace Industries Association. All these products look very similar. They're digests that offer brief teases of stories, then link to expanded detail in the original publications where the stories appeared. Their criteria for story selection in these so-called newsletters sometimes appears to be less about news value than supporting the positions of the organizations. AOPA's branded version of the SmartBrief product claims 196,000 subscribers, or about half the current number of AOPA members. The organization apparently sees this disparity as a revenue opportunity and has recently sent out emailed solicitations to subscribe so it can boost circulation. I received two of them, calling the eBrief essential reading and urging me to sign up. Unsolicited email pitches are always mildly annoying, but these were especially so, since I've already been getting AOPA's eBrief for a couple of years now. I get it through the email address associated with my AOPA membership, but apparently AOPA is indiscriminately shotgunning other email lists, including addresses at aero-news.net, without bothering to merge its various lists to remove the duplicates. These unsolicited email pitches are technically not spam, since I've used my Aero News email account to communicate with AOPA in the past, but they certainly further the impression that AOPA has become essentially a marketing organization. AOPA defends the need to raise revenue to lobby on GA's behalf, but increasingly, its positions seem to be diverging from those of us who fly smaller GA aircraft. Up next on ANN, Cessna's Citation CJ4 is certified by EASA. The Honda jet reaches 43,000 feet. And E-Base is over. Now, on to A-Base. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 19th. We're also wrapping up news from this week's European Business Aviation Convention and Expo in Geneva, Switzerland. Cessna announced at eBase yesterday that the Citation CJ4 business jet has gained type certification from the European Aviation Safety Agency. The CJ4 gained FAA certification in March of 2010. The CJ4 made its European debut at eBase in May of 2010, and the first European delivery took place in October of that year. The Citation CJ4 is the newest and largest member of the popular CJ family of business jets, which also includes the CJ2 Plus and CJ3. The CJ4 is approved for single-pilot operations and shares a common pilot type rating with the other CJs. Retail price for a typically equipped CJ4 is $9 million. The CJ4 has a range of 2,002 nautical miles and a top speed of 453 knots. The aircraft has a takeoff roll of 3,130 feet at maximum takeoff weight. The CJ-4 is powered by two Williams International FJ44-4A FADEC engines and features a four-screen Collins ProLine 21 avionics suite. The Cessna Citation 10, in this case spelled out T-E-N, not with a Roman numeral X, is scheduled to make its first flight by the end of this year, with first deliveries planned for the second half of 2013. The 10 is a mid-sized aircraft with uprated design and performance, enabling it to fly higher, faster, and farther than the existing Citation X, which is now the world's fastest certified business jet. The 10 is designed for greater fuel efficiency and increased comfort for up to 9 passengers and 2 pilots. Get more details at Cessna.com. Honda Aircraft Company announced at EBACE that it has successfully completed additional milestone flight tests with its FAA-conforming Honda jet, including the achievement of a maximum operating altitude of 43,000 feet. The company says a total of 6 aircraft will be used in certification testing. Training of production staff will soon be underway to support the HondaJet production ramp-up beginning in 2012. And finally today, NBAA President Ed Boland told industry leaders at EBACE that the 2012 edition of the Asian Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition, or ABACE, is well-positioned to take its place as the region's premier annual industry event. Quote, "We are well on the path toward making ABACE in the Asian region what EBACE is to Europe and what NBAA's convention is to the U.S., not just the signature business aviation event in its region, but a catalyst for the industry," unquote. ABACE 2012 is co-organized by NBAA and the Asian Business Aviation Association. The event will be held in the Shanghai Hawker Pacific Business Aviation Service Center and will include exhibits in the facility's 43,000-square-foot hangar, a static display of aircraft, and education sessions led by industry veterans. Dates are Tuesday through Thursday, March 27th through 29th, 2012. Find out more at the event's dedicated website, abace.aero. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear Randy Babbitt's keynote address from the Pilot Training Reform Symposium. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.